You are listening to a sermon podcast from Kingdom City. We pray that over the next few moments, you will be blessed, equipped, and empowered to bring the reality of God to your world.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to church today. It is great to see you all in the house of God. Aren't you glad that you came? You know, the presence of God is already here, so strong and thick and tangible. And, you know, as we come around the word, let's just take a moment to pray, because I know God wants to speak to us. So, Father, we just thank you right now that you are here. Lord, that you are alive and real, and Lord, that you are speaking to every hungry heart today. Lord, we pray over the next few moments that you would speak to each and every one of us. We just declare right now over the atmosphere of this room that your voice is the only voice that is permitted to speak. We silence every other distraction. We pull down every other voice in the name of Jesus. And we declare that you must bow to the name of Jesus. Everything that would try to pull us and distract us away from you right now, we just command it to be quiet. And we just pray, God, that you would speak. Lord, I thank you, God, that this would be a time of alignment, that this would be a time of awakening. Lord, that our hunger and our desire and our love for you would grow stronger today. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 You can say hi to the person next to you, and let's welcome everybody who is joining us online, whichever room that you're in today. I know God is there and he's going to speak to each and every one of us. You know, over the last few weeks, we have been hearing incredible messages during our Why series, which actually talks about the heart and the why behind what a lot of us do as believers. You know, very often we can just go through the motions and we can just do a lot of things. And it's good to stop and take stock of why are we actually doing these things. You know, I am so blessed that I was brought up and born into an incredible Christian home. And I grew up where God and church attendance and serving and all of those things, they weren't negotiable. You know, I don't know about you, but in my household, it was like, if you stay under our roof, you're staying under our rules. Anyone else? Wow, it's a very loud response here in Canningvale. Lots of Asians, Africans, the ratio, you know. But, you know, I am so thankful for that. Even when I was a bit of a rat bag and went through a rebellious teenage phase. Yes, that did happen. I'm really thankful that my parents didn't make it an option. I had to come to church. I had to be here. I had to be in the house of God. And I'm thankful for that because, firstly, I was in the room. I was in an atmosphere. I was in an environment where the presence of God was there and I could encounter God for myself. I actually was in the room where God was able to grip my heart and it changed the trajectory of my life because I was here and encountered God for myself. You know, the second reason I'm so thankful is that it actually really helped shape a lot of who I am today. Those convictions that I grew up with, those convictions, and it helped shape and form the way we want to live our lives as a family as well. And I'm really thankful to God for that. But the only negative thing about it is that there's definitely been times where I've done a lot of things out of habit or out of compulsion or out of you've got to do it because we say, rather than out of conviction. And so over the years, I've had to wrestle with some of these things and I've actually had to ask that question why and work through some of those things and encountered God for myself to develop my own convictions around a lot of these practices. So today, we're going to talk about something that we often mention and we often talk about in church life. We're going to look at why serve. You know, it's so important that we look at the heart and the why behind why we serve. Serving, by definition, is about performing an act or a duty for someone else. It's about putting someone else's needs before your own. But, you know, if that is the only reason why you do it, it won't last. If that is the only reason why you're serving, you're not going to last. You're going to eventually get hurt. You're going to eventually get offended. Somewhere along the way, someone is going to forget to say thank you. Someone is going to forget to recognize what you did. Someone is going to frustrate you and hurt you and annoy you and get under your skin. Someone's going to not notice what an incredible job you're doing. And so if that is the only reason why we're serving, it's not going to last the distance. It's not going to last the time. You know, we need to actually have a conviction and we need to know why we're serving. And it can't be just for the acknowledgement or the recognition or the thanks or even just to meet a need. That can't be the only reason why we serve. It has to go beyond that. We have to actually understand the heart behind what we're doing. Luke chapter 7, verse 36. It says, one of the Pharisees asked Jesus to have dinner with him. So Jesus went to his home and sat down to eat. When a certain immoral woman from that city heard that he was eating there, she brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. Then she knelt behind him at his feet, weeping. Her tears fell on his feet and she wiped them off with her hair. And she kissed him. She kept kissing his feet, putting perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. She is a sinner. And then Jesus answered his thoughts. Simon, he said to the Pharisee, I have something to say to you. Go ahead, teacher, Simon replied. Then Jesus told him this story. A man loaned money to two people, 500 pieces of silver to one and 50 pieces to the other, but neither of them could repay him. So he kindly forgave them both, cancelling their debts. Who do you suppose loved him more after that? Simon answered, I suppose the one for whom he cancelled the larger debt. That's right, Jesus said. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, look at this woman kneeling before me. When I entered your home, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust from my feet, but she has washed them away with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she has anointed my feet with rare perfume. I tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven. So she has shown me much love. But a person who is forgiven little shows only little love. You know, I've read this story many times and I've heard a lot of people preach about this beautiful, extravagant act of worship that this woman did. But I only recently realized that it's not actually just an act of worship. It's a beautiful act of her serving Jesus that day. It's a beautiful act of her serving Jesus. See, we all know that worship is more than just singing. We all know that worship is actually the way we live our lives. It's an expression of everything that we do that brings honor to Jesus, that brings glory to him. And a big part of that is actually our serving. See, when we serve one another, when we bless other people, it's part of our worship to the Lord. Not only does it bless others and not only does it help others, but it also brings glory and honor to God and it actually helps shape who we are. You know, when we do what we do, it's so important that we realize that everything that we do is unto the Lord. You know, if we look at this passage, there's three things that I just want to talk about today, which actually three things about this woman serving that caught the attention of Jesus. You know, she didn't do it to be recognized. I don't think she even knew that Jesus would acknowledge what she did that day, but she actually did it and it caught his attention and it caused Jesus to honor her that day when Simon was critical of her. The first thing is her serving was selfless. See, in those days, it was very common practice to have servants come and wash your feet before you entered into a house because they were walking on dusty roads. They only had sandals, so their feet were often very dirty. But it was actually considered like the most menial, lowest of the low task. right? If there was a ranking, sometimes we have a ranking with serving, don't we? If there was a ranking, the feet washing servant, like that was the lowest task. No one wanted to do that job, right? It was like the most selfless, like whatever. And the Bible actually tells us that no one even did that day for Jesus. It was overlooked that day, but that woman was willing to do what no one else wanted to do. She was willing to do what no one else was prepared to do, what was overlooked. It was that such a menial thing and it got overlooked that day, but she was willing to be selfless in her serving towards the Lord. You know, sometimes when it comes to serving, we do have a bit of a ranking. We do have a thing, and there's often things and jobs and tasks that do need to be done that no one wants to do. They're the selfless, thankless roles that have to happen. Like I think of our amazing, incredible car park team in all of our campuses. We have amazing carriers who, when it's 40 degrees, they're out there helping you park your car. When it's pouring down with rain, they're bringing umbrellas to your car and helping you not get wet on your way into church. Like, this is like the most selfless. I bet you drove past and didn't even notice who the car park person was today. Hopefully you weren't rude to them. But, you know, there's incredible carriers in our church that do these jobs because they're selfless. They're the thankless jobs that often don't want to get done. You know, I think of TIK that, you know, we often welcome new people into our family and we meet you, we put on a meal, we, you know, watch amazing videos. There's incredible hospitality and it's lots of fun. But, you know, during that day, there's amazing carriers that are here in the kitchen, prepping, cleaning, cutting up food, cooking the food, working all day to present this beautiful meal for you when you come in at night. You know, often they're the last people to leave because they're washing the dishes. They're doing the selfless, unseen, thankless jobs that a lot of people don't want to do. You know, I think of our amazing kids carriers who actually come early. They sacrifice. They don't get to sit in this service, although they encounter God absolutely in the kids service for sure. But sometimes it can be seen as like, I don't want to do that job. But they're willing to be selfless. They're willing to lay down their own lives. They're willing to lay down their own agendas, their own preferences to actually serve others, to bless others. And there's something about that that pleases God. You know, there's something about that selfless, hidden aspect of our serving that actually attracts the attention of God. And if we're honest, there's probably an element to that to everything that we do. I've highlighted three, but, you know, even the worship team, everyone thinks, oh, they get all the glory. Do you know they were the first ones here this morning? Do you know they rehearsed on Thursday? Do you know they've done years of practice? Do you know our incredible production team who only get looked at when they do something wrong? They were up late at night making slides, prepping news, doing this. There's so many hidden aspects to everything that we do, but there's something so precious about that. There's something so precious about the hidden aspect of our serving, which is sacred. It's sacred before the Lord. You know, when we face times where a loved one passes on or we're grieving and you know, it's presented to us the temporal aspect of our life. You often at that time hear about these things that this person did, especially if, you know, they've been selfless and they did this and they did that. All these stories come out, which is so beautiful. And I often think about that and think, wow, what awaits them when they get to heaven? You know, what awaits them? Because there's something that has been saved up for them, which we haven't even noticed here on earth, but there's been a reward that has been saved up for them when they get to meet Jesus. Matthew 25, starting from verse 34, says, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit this kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was a prisoner and you visited me.' Then the righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will say to them, I tell you the truth. When you did it to one of these, the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it unto me. See, when we're serving each other, everything that we do for others, it's actually unto the Lord. It's actually serving unto the Lord. So yes, you might get things along the way, but it's unto the Lord. That's got to be the driver. That's got to be the motivation. That has got to be the thing that keeps us going. You know, the second thing that we can see about this lady's service that day, it was sacrificial. See, she brought with her that day a beautiful alabaster jar full of costly perfume, which many historians say which would have been at least a year's worth of wages. It would have been something of great value to her, not just some cheap perfume that she didn't mind wasting that day. No, this was the best. This was the thing that she had saved up for. This actually cost her something. And you know, what I love about it wasn't just an impulsive decision. That was very intentional on her part. When she left her house that day, she would have gotten that sacred alabaster box, which she would have been saving up, and she brought it intentionally with her to Jesus, knowing that this was the sacrifice that she wanted to make that day. It was an intentional sacrifice that she made. You know, sometimes we can serve when it's convenient. Sometimes we can serve if it suits us and it fits into our schedule. But you know, I don't want us to serve. I don't want to be that person that just serves out of convenience. I want to bring an intentional sacrifice that costs me something because it is unto the Lord. You know, sometimes we can be like, all right, well, I guess if the kids wake up early, I'll join the prayer team that Sunday. I guess if, you know, it fits into my busy life and my busy work schedule, I guess I don't mind helping at the door every now and then. No. Let's actually be intentional. Let's actually sacrifice. Let's actually plan and bring something to the Lord that costs us. You know, I know there's times when you might not be able to, and there's seasons that you might not be able to. That's fine. But if we're going to serve, let's bring our best. Let's bring everything that we have. Let's be intentional in serving the Lord with our best. Because that is actually what pleases God. See, if we're going to say yes to serving, we actually have to say no to some things. You might need to say no to that Saturday night party so that you can go to bed early and get here on time. You might need to say no to a shift at work maybe because you feel like God has told you that you need to prioritize getting into the house of God and serving in the house of the Lord. You might need to say no to some of your time. You might not watch as many movies, or you might need to sacrifice money. Whatever it is, you might need to sacrifice sleep to get up early. Whatever it is, let's be intentional with our sacrificial service unto the Lord. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, whatever your task may be, work from the soul. That is, put in your very best effort as something done for the Lord and not for men, knowing with all certainty that it is from the Lord and not from men that you will receive the inheritance, which is your greatest reward. It is the Lord Christ whom you actually serve. You know, see, when we serve each other, and when we serve, it's actually unto the Lord. So let's make sure that we give God our best. Let's make sure that we bring Him our best, bring Him something that actually costs us something. And you know, whatever it is that you do, it says whatever your role, not just serving in church, when it comes to your family, when it comes to your work, when it comes to all the different aspects of your life that you need to steward, let's be intentional at making sure we give it our best. And you know, make sure you're the one that's sacrificing. Make sure you go to bed late instead of taking it out of your family time. Make sure you sacrifice sleep to go to the gym. I don't know, whatever it is, make sure you're the one that's sacrificing and you don't make your wife or your husband or your kids pay the price for what God has called you to do. You know, we have to be sacrificial in everything that we do. And so let's make a fresh commitment today to serve sacrificially and to give our very best in what we do. The third thing that we can see about this woman is that her serving was so sincere. There was something so genuine and authentic about this beautiful act that she did. It came with a heart of gratitude. It came with a heart that actually was so thankful and so in love with Jesus. And she was so grateful. It was like this overflow of what she had experienced and who she knew that was. See, she had so much to be thankful for that day. And Jesus said to Simon, "You didn't even bother to wash my feet. You didn't even send someone to do this job. But this woman, she came and she's just been washing my feet with her tears. You didn't bother to greet me, but this woman has came and has been lavishing on me with her kisses and her anointing." Simon failed to do that. He didn't anoint Jesus that day, but that woman did. See, there was an overwhelming sense of gratitude. There was an overwhelming flow. So because of what she had experienced, because of an encounter that she had. See, once we have encountered Jesus in a real and tangible and fresh way, we can't help but worship. We can't help but serve. We can't help but give. We can't help but bring our best to God, because it comes from a well. It comes from the depth. It comes from an overflow within each and every one of us. 1 Peter 4:10 says, "Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sin. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various form. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus." See, serving is not just about completing a task or doing a job. Serving is our way of showing love and gratitude towards God. Serving is our way of expressing our thanks towards Him. You know, so why should we serve? Serving actually blesses others. See, when we serve selflessly, sacrificially, and sincerely with everything that we have, it's a great reminder that it's not about us. We don't serve for recognition. We don't serve for thanks. We don't serve for those things. We purely serve to bless others unto the Lord. We serve to honor others unto the Lord. You know, and it creates an environment. It creates an atmosphere which allows people to come in and encounter God for the very first time. It creates a platform. It creates an avenue for the presence of God to be ushered in when we lay down our lives, when we sacrificially serve, when we put other people's needs before ourselves. It creates an avenue for God to come and encounter us. See, it's not for selfish gain. If we serve for a heart that just wants to be recognized and honored, it's not going to work. We actually need to serve selflessly just to bless others, just to honor the Lord. And that creates an avenue. That creates a platform for the presence of God to come. See, we love because He first loved us. We serve because Jesus first served us. And so out of that, our natural response is to love and serve Him. You know, the second reason why we serve because it creates community. See, serving actually is an opportunity for us to connect with other people. It's an opportunity for us to be in community and connection with like-minded believers. See, sometimes we can fall into the trap of thinking, well, yeah, okay, well, I serve my community. I serve my sport. I serve on the board of my school. I serve the community because I'm a doctor or I'm a lawyer or I'm working in these industries and I'm actually serving in everything I do. Yes, you are, and that's awesome. And I'm not negating any of that. That is absolutely necessary. But there is nothing. There is nothing like serving in the house of God. I honor every single one of these incredible doctors and lawyers and professionals who come and they're busy during the week doing all of those things, but they still come and serve in the house of God. You know why? Because there's nothing like standing alongside like-minded Christians and believers who are headed in the same direction as us, and we're locked in and we're like, right, we're doing this to make a difference. We're doing this to create an avenue for people to come in and encounter God. See, when we're part of a family, we're part of community, it's like we're part of an army. And we're locked in and we're taking our position in the army of God when we're serving. See, we're part of the family anyway, but it's like sometimes the enemy will get you to not serve and he sidelines you. And he sidelines you and you're not actually in your position, picking up your shield and doing what you need to do, doing your part. And that is actually what serving is. It's like it locks us into community with one another. And you know, sometimes if you're struggling, if you're feeling lonely, join a team. We'd love to have you. It's a great opportunity to connect with other people. It's a great opportunity for you to pick up your piece and do your part. We need everyone to do their part so that we can actually make a difference. We've got a massive world to change. We've got a massive city to save, and we need everyone to do their part and be a part of this army of God. The last thing is serving actually grows our intimacy with Jesus. As much as serving comes from a place of intimacy, as much as it comes from an overflow of who God is and what He has done in our lives, it actually is an avenue for us to also connect and reconnect with God. See, the whole theme for this year is intimacy with God. And serving is a way for us to grow in our intimacy and our connection with Him. Not just the act of serving, but the heart of serving. The heart of serving. See, sometimes we can be like the Pharisees and we can just go through the act. See, the Pharisees in that day were the people who just, were the religious people who said the right things, did the right things, behaved the right way. Their heart was missing the connection with Jesus. And see, when we read the Bible, we never want to read ourselves as the Pharisees. Oh, I'm not the Pharisee. No. We never want to read ourselves as that. But if we're honest, there's probably times when we've served like that. There's times when we've worshipped like that. There's times when we're going through the motions. We're going through the act of doing all the right things, but our heart hasn't realigned in our heart. And so when we come before God and when we sacrificially worship, when we sacrificially serve, when we give Him our very best, it's an opportunity for our heart to realign with God. It's an opportunity for us to reconnect with who God is. And it awakens something in each and every one of us. See, I could end the message by putting a QR code up and telling you to scan the QR code and join a team. And listen, if that's what the Holy Spirit is telling you to do, we'd love you to do that. That would be an awesome byproduct. But the goal of today is actually for us to reconnect our heart behind the why of what we're doing. Reconnect our heart. So sometimes, you know, there's some people here, maybe you're serving and you're doing it and you're going through the motions. But today, I believe today may be a moment of realignment. Today may be a moment where you reconnect your heart behind the why of the sacrifices that you're making, behind the why of the things that you're having to say no to. And today is a realigning moment for us today. And, you know, I just want to take a few moments just for us to worship and just reconnect with God. So I'm just going to invite you to stand right now. And just take a moment to actually open your heart up to the Lord And as we worship, I just want to encourage you to go, what's really going on? Where am I at with this? Am I really worshiping just to go through the motions? Am I really serving just to go through the motions? Am I just doing the act of all these things, or am I connected with the heart of who Jesus is? You know, my favorite part of that story is when the woman actually pours out the fragrance. Can you imagine what that would have done to the atmosphere in the room? See, it's actually in the act of her doing that, that the fragrance was released. So she could have brought that along. She could have done all of those things, but until she actually tipped it open and in the act of her selflessly laying that down. See, it didn't just, then it just changed the whole atmosphere. It changed the atmosphere within her. It changed the atmosphere around her. See, our worship and our serving, it creates and releases a fragrance that pleases the Lord. It releases a fragrance that shifts the room. It releases a fragrance that changes the world around us. So come on, let's worship now.
It's your gift to me, so I breathe. Every breath gratefully, my heart fully.
Preparing this message, I felt that there was certain groups of people today that I really wanted to pray for. There's people here, and for whatever reason, you've stopped serving. For whatever reason, you've actually just gone, I've done my serving season. I've done the sacrifice. I've done all of those things, but I actually really feel like God actually wants to minister to your heart today. See, because sometimes people around us can criticize you. Or maybe someone's hurt you, or the words have been said, and the enemy has used that to actually lock your heart. The enemy has used that wound to actually make you pull back. And the enemy has used that wound to make you go, okay, well, fine, I'll give you this much, but don't ask me to give you my whole heart. Okay, fine, I'll do this, but don't touch that. But I really believe that God actually wants to come and bring healing to our hearts today. You know, even if you're watching online, wherever you are, I feel like God actually wants to touch you and minister to your heart and awaken something in people today. See, there's people here and you're like, okay, well, yeah, I've tried that. I've done that. It's hurt me. I don't really know if I want to do that again, but I feel like God wants to bring healing to your heart today. As you yield, as you trust the Lord again. And the second group of people is actually people who've pulled back or stopped serving or haven't started serving because you believe the lie that if you do, it's going to cost your family. See, the enemy's come and he tries to sideline you. He tries to go, okay, no, don't do that. Oh, that's too much. Oh, your kids are going to backslide. That that is a lie from the enemy, I break it right now in the name of Jesus. See, your family is not going to suffer. Your kids are actually going to be protected. Your family is going to be protected in the house of the Lord. In the army, there's protection. In the family, there's safety. And so right now, with every eye closed, come on, you just had to lift your hands before the Lord. Father, I just pray right now that you would come and you would awaken something in us. Lord God, that there would be every lie will fall to the ground right now in Jesus' name. We pull out those thorns, we pull out those words, we break its hold in the name of Jesus. We pull down every lie, we dismantle it right now, and we declare, God, that your truth would minister to every single person. I thank you, God, for your healing anointing that's taking place. Lord God, that you're healing hearts. I just declare there's people here and you're like, I don't really know if I can trust again. I don't really know if I can put myself on the line again. And so we just pray right now, God, that you would breathe your life. You would breathe your anointing. I thank you, God, for awakening and stirring a passion and a hunger and a desire in each and every one of us to serve and honor and worship you with everything that we have.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. If you have never entered into a relationship with Jesus, we want you to know that He loves you very much. So much that He died on the cross for all of your sins that stood between you and God. If you would like to make a decision to follow Jesus today, all you need to do is to repeat this prayer. Dear God, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I admit that I'm not right with you, and I want to be right with you. I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. I believe with my heart and confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord and Savior of my life. Thank you for saving me and making me your child. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or if God has done anything in your life because of this podcast, we would love to know. Email us at testimony@kingdomcity.com.